Begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
I'm back.
Oh, yeah, I almost missed my cue. We're all back. Welcome back to Discourse. I'm Morgan Nickel, Big Mouth Dickhead from the internet.
And I'm Dylan Reeve, reporting live from Wagastan.
I realised that we haven't been talking about the drinks lately, the lowbrows. This week I'm actually having a shandy cocktail. What you do is you take a 1 litre stein and you put about a third of it full of ice, and then you pour, I don't know the correct terminology for these things, this Woodstock, the higher alcohol Woodstock.
Ugh.
And then on top of that, you pour one of the little V-size cans of Bullet bourbon and cola. And so these are basically enemies meeting.
So you've got two different bourbon and colas competing with one another.
That's right. And then you top it up with Sprite. And I'm going to tell you now what it tastes like.
Tastes like bourbon and cola with a bit of Sprite in it.
Yeah, it's quite good, actually. It's very, very sweet.
Well, it needs to be, because Woodstock, especially the high alcohol ones, really...
it's delicious.
It's almost astringent, I would say. It's just...
So sweet?
Yeah, sweet and with an unpleasant sharpness in the back of the throat or something. I don't know.
It's lovely.
It's not good bourbon.
Oh, no, it's not good bourbon. That's definitely true, but it's about $3.
Yeah, well, fair enough. It's the quick way to piss town.
That's really basically all I've got to talk about this week.
Great. Well, that's gone well. So
I'm going to test a theory that I posited sometime last year, that if you can't do it drunk, you just can't do it.
That's true. And I've done computer programming and editing drunk, and in both cases, it's worked out very well.
Now, XKCD suggested that there was an optimal level for
the Balmer curve.
That's right. And if you go over that, everything goes wrong. And if you're not quite at that, you're not kind of relaxed. And I think it's just about getting in the zone.
But it works quite well with a lot of things. When you think about it with pool, you know, there's that point where like two drinks in a game of pool, like two drinks in, maybe three, your pool playing gets so much better once you can, you know, really visualize the lines and let go. But then like two or three more drinks after that and you can barely hit the cue ball.
Yeah.
So that's the Balmer curve. Expressed in pool. It also works in programming and video editing.
It's xkcd.com/3, 2, 3, and they call it the Balmer peak.
Peak. Sorry, there you go.
The peak.
Yeah, the programming I did, I broke whatever it was I was programming. I looked at it a couple of days later and it had a comment in the code that said, I was drinking when I wrote this, so forgive me if it goes astray.
A lot of my comments are apologies to hypothetical future people who or may not ever actually see my code.
That's very nearly a riff. It's very nearly a line from Prince's 1999. So I assume I was drinking and listening to 1999.
2000. I need to turn on some sound effects.
No,
I don't know.
No. You don't need to.
Definitely don't do it.
No.
You sure?
Yeah.
Reporting live from Wagastan. That must be a topical reference, I think.
It is right now. It's probably not so topical if you listen to this in the download. No, actually, it's not going to go away that quickly.
There are a couple of news stories we're going to talk about this week that everyone's already heard about.
Yeah.
But deal with it.
Yeah, it's what happens.
Deal with it.
You're not listening live, except for the few of you who are, so you're just going to have to accept that it's a little bit out of date.
And even they will be like, seriously, that horse meat story, that's already days old. Even the live listeners.
Weeks old.
Well, possibly weeks old, but, you know, it keeps going. I love that story.
Yeah, the Wagastan one, I mean, I was going to touch on it briefly. It's interesting, a sitting MP, member of the New Zealand First Party, has written an astonishingly... A, ridiculous, B, racist column in Investigate magazine.
Which is an esteemed publication, isn't it?
Oh, greatly. I was figuring their sales must have almost, you know, tripled or quadrupled after a few dozen journalists went out and bought copies so they could figure out what had been written.
And Winston Peters suggests that even though he's one of his very few MPs, that he wasn't doing it as an MP, he was doing it as a journalist. But what was it that he did, Dylan? What was it? Something very reasonable and level-headed, I bet.
He suggested that to solve the problem of Islamic terrorism on airlines, not that that's actually a significant problem,
yeah,
That simply you don't allow Muslims or people who look like Muslims to fly, young men specifically between I think 19 and 35 was his criterion, to fly on Western Airlines.
I've got the quote here. If you are a young male aged between, say, about 19 to about 34 and you're Muslim, or you look Muslim, or you come from a Muslim country, then you're not welcome to travel on any of the West's airlines, he writes.
Yeah.
What does it mean to look Muslim? Does that mean be brown?
Well, I didn't realise this, but Tim Grosser, our Minister of Trade, is Muslim. He doesn't look Muslim.
I think, is Sonny Bill Williams Muslim as well?
Apparently also.
Yeah. Basically, Tim Grosser is a fuckwit.
Okay.
I mean, that's not what I mean. I mean Richard Prosser. If you can't do it drunk.
I don't know why you're attacking Tim Grosser.
I completely didn't mean to. Wrong name entirely. I apologize. That was not
Prosser,
even a, that wasn't even a joke. It was just a mistake. Richard Prosser, King
Tosser.
This is
why we can't have a real radio show, Morgan.
Well, I mean, we could have a real radio show if I just wasn't allowed to drink.
Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. If you can't do it drunk.
You can't do it. That's what I've been telling you all this time. Where's my button? See? You got a tick, a green tick of approval from the... See, we could be some kind of... I bet we could talk to John Key if we had a morning radio show.
Oh, of course. He'll talk to anyone with a morning radio show.
As long as there are no real questions. How great is it to be Prime Minister, John? It's really great. Join us after the break for more from something something. Bangladesh Bobby. Spinning the wheels of steel.
Crazy.
Yes. We're talking about Richard
even
Prosser.
Even if it was a problem and there's you know, there's been not very many incidents.
Yeah.
It's absurd. There's like a billion Muslims in the world, and that's not even counting the ones who live in, quote, Muslim countries, which is on his list of things.
Yeah. Did you hear what Winston Peters said?
I don't really care, but no.
Well, look, we live in a society that believes in democracy and the right for people to speak what they think, but we expect them as MPs to put the balanced side of the story. That's where the article failed. Before you all take that soft-headed approach, there's an element of truth to what he is saying. Apart from McVeigh and the Oklahoma matter, this has been happening over and over again. The part that there are far too many radical Muslim extremists. But that is right. But what's wrong about that is that you cannot then go and generalise in the erroneous way he did. And that's what I made it very, very clear.
Which I think actually sounds just fine and perfectly reasonable. If you hear the whole thing, not just the first bit. I mean, most of the media, the first thing I saw... commenting on what Winston Peters had said by way of response to Prosser, was that he said that you'd have to agree that there is a colour of truth to what he says. And apparently what he means by that is that there is a problem with, you know, some extremist Muslims, but that he made the mistake of generalising from that. And that seems appropriate, actually.
Yeah, but even saying that, though, is a... I mean, yes, it's true, but it's... still an overgeneralization. Even that way is still an overgeneralization. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It's yes, he has the right to say it, but he doesn't have the right. There should also be, you know, repercussions for what you say. You have the freedom to say what you want to say.
Consequences.
But words have consequences.
Don't expect none.
Exactly. Just because you can say it doesn't mean nothing. You know, no one should have an opinion on what you say.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. And I mean, if you're going to write and investigate. First things first.
Well, it's bad enough that we have a sitting MP writing for Investigate or, you know, reading Investigate.
He that is without Woodstock and Bullet and Sprite drink should cast the first stone. And that won't be me this time, I guess, because I even got the guy's name wrong. I'm sorry, Tim Grosser. I didn't mean to, mate.
I don't think he's that bad, to be honest.
Honest mistake.
All right.
Honest mistake. Seriously, it was just, I don't even know why it happened, but it happened.
It's the booze talking. It's not what we drink, Morgan.
Well, it kind of is what we drink.
Well, it's when and on what podcasts we drink.
Right, yeah. PVA on This Week in Tech. And, you know, things probably won't go great even on that show. So last week, I don't know if it was in the overflow or during the normal show or actually just after the show, but we discussed GoPros, the GoPro Black. And so on.
We did at some point, didn't we? Yes.
And
I was probably not on the show.
And what it boiled down to was you're going to get me one when you go to NAB.
Sure.
I accidentally bought one this week.
Oh, well. These things happen.
Yeah, apparently they do. When you're drunk in charge of a credit card, can't be trusted. Can't be trusted.
Basically, well, you can't do it drunk.
You can't bloody do it. And it doesn't matter how drunk I am, I can remember my security kid. I don't even know what their last word was. Kid. Security key, security code, whatever the little number is.
You mentioned the GoPro and NAB, and I remember last year, apparently, they were just giving them away.
Right.
To like every 10th person who came to the booth or something ridiculous. So, you know, I'll just keep going back to the GoPro booth until they give me a camera.
And then go back again and get me another one.
Sure.
I probably still want you to get me some stuff.
I'll be there like 4 or 5 days, so that's fine.
Like maybe another GoPro, but probably like, you know, batteries.
Probably. Yeah. No, we didn't talk about it, but there's a thing coming up. It's not this coming weekend, but the one after that, the 23rd. Sounds vaguely right. Unfortunately, I can't go, but it's the longest water slide in the world ever, right. Something.
Yeah.
They've dug a massive trench in a hillside near Helensville.
It sure is massive.
It is huge. I really wanted to go, but we have to go somewhere else that weekend, so I can't. I'm very disappointed.
Weekends,
It looked awesome.
They always seem so full of promise, and yet they just get filled up with stuff.
Yeah, but it looks like a great place for a GoPro.
Yeah.
I think Mr. Gracewood's planning to go.
Yeah.
So he's got a GoPro, and some other friends of mine are going to go and take their GoPros. Everyone's got a GoPro.
Everyone's got a GoPro. Except you and me, and I only haven't got one because it hasn't arrived yet.
There you go.
The video quality for a lot of stuff I've seen of it is quite shit, but then, every now and then, there's something where you just wouldn't want to put any other camera, and the GoPro's just fine there.
The newer ones, the quality of the GoPro's got better and better, and the GoPro 3 has pretty good quality video.
Yeah.
It's all relative.
Pretty good for a $400 camera that you don't mind dropping off the top of a very tall building.
Totally, but also pretty good for a lot of cameras full stop. It actually is now, you know, the quality of the vision coming out of it's actually getting really good.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you're limited by the fact the lens is, you know, small and designed for a very wide angle, but still it's a pretty good quality picture coming off the latest generation.
I reckon the GoPro is the camera for people who decide they want to do it drunk.
Excellent.
Just to have evidence that they either could or couldn't do it.
Exactly. You could just get to the point now where you just strap the... You know, there's all those times you're like, fuck, I wish I had my camera out during that, or I wish there was some way I could record the things I've just seen. Now you can just walk around with a GoPro on your head all the time.
I took the SD card out of my little travel camera, my little Canon point-and-shoot, and I put it into my DSLR. And then my DSLR, I turned it on, and it was like, this isn't even turning on at all. And then I realized that SD card had my CHDK firmware specifically for the little travel camera on it. And now the DSLR doesn't turn on anymore. So I don't... What a fucking genius. I think that probably taking the battery out and leaving it off for a while will probably do the trick. But short of that, probably putting a CHDK firmware for the DSLR on a card and then putting that in there. That might sort it out as well. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Hopefully.
Or maybe plugging it into a computer and doing some kind of blind write thing, which I didn't even know if you can do, but maybe you can. As I recall from the CHDK thing, it doesn't actually write anything permanently into the camera. It sort of loads it into RAM, and so it shouldn't have done anything permanent. It's just
I don't know the details, but I know that the earlier versions of the Magic Lantern firmware did make permanent changes to the ROM. The newer ones don't, so I don't know what the difference.
This is not a new version. I mean, this is not an old version. It's not the latest version, but it's also fairly new, relatively new. Because the little point-and-shoot is not that old, you know, it's not that old, yeah.
So what else is up?
All sorts of things. You know, if you can't do it drunk, basically, you can probably run North Korea, even so, somehow. Those people are crazy. But they're crazy with nuclear weapons, and they've proven it for the third time with another nuclear test. A little bit of a surprise, although they had been rattling their sabers a little bit. Little one. 20 kilotons, I think it was estimated at, something like that.
So I don't know.
It was detected from earthquake seismograph things.
Yeah, 4.9.
Yeah.
4.9 on the Richter scale. I don't know what to think of North Korea having nuclear weapons. I know they're a bit nuts. But is it really a threat? Like, how many warheads could they possibly have?
They're a threat to Japan.
They're
a threat to South Korea.
So what's the solution?
The solution is you keep giving them rice because it's just about aid. That they all they ever want is aid because the country is so badly mismanaged. They've had an ongoing famine for probably decades.
So give them some fucking rice.
Well, we do. The West does. Good. The West gives them all kinds of shit and then says, please stop making nuclear weapons. We'll give you even more rice if you just don't make nuclear weapons. And then they go, I'll tell you what, how about we do make nuclear weapons and you give us more rice?
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know how much of a threat it is. And I also find the whole non-proliferation thing kind of hypocritical.
Why?
Well, how come some people say that they can have nuclear weapons and other people can't?
Because do you want everyone to have a gun?
Well, no, but I also don't want some people to be able to say we can have guns and you can't.
But do more people die if say you've got a room with 100 people in it, okay? Yep. Let's call it a school, and one guy, and that's the principal. Now, let's say it's the woodwork teacher. He's the only person who's allowed a gun. No, the maths teacher. Why not?
You're not the woodwork teacher. You can't give him a gun. No, he's probably missing three or four fingers on his hand.
The school nurse is the only one who's allowed a gun.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I don't know how many people you think will die in that room. I think probably close to zero. All right. But what if the woodwork teacher and everyone in the seventh form also had guns? What are the chances then of people dying? They get higher and higher, I think. Once everyone has a gun...
I understand. I just find it still just seems slightly hypocritical to me that these countries can have thousands, hundreds of nuclear warheads,
yeah,
and at the same time say we get to decide who has nuclear warheads and it's not you.
I think it should probably be the Russians. They should probably decide because they've never used them in anger. It shouldn't be the Americans because they, let's not forget, they actually have used them
And how many nuclear missiles in the States are targeted on North Korean locations?
Probably none. I think that no nuclear weapons are actually targeted. But they can be targeted very quickly.
Yeah, I suppose we're in a different world these days. Like we're just... Yeah. You know, double click on a spot on Google Maps.
There's an app for that.
There probably is. That's probably what's in the briefcase that travels around with.
Speaking of Google Maps in North Korea, did you see that Google has added kind of user-generated maps for North Korea? Because I mean, North Korea is notoriously secretive, and these maps are based on people who've travelled through and people who've escaped and so on. And there are areas called like Gulag 7 and so on. Not exactly stuff that would encourage tourism.
I have not seen that.
Nuclear test road.
I briefly read a headline and didn't go any further than that.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's pretty much all I did as well, but I got an anecdote out of it.
I did see that the nuclear test, or the seismic, before they knew it was a nuclear test, the seismic reading, the epicenter was close to a road that was marked on Google Maps as nuclear test road.
Yeah. Yeah, so. those are the user-generated...
Yeah.
Maps, yeah. So now let me just point out one more thing, and this is very important to note. Kim Jong-un looks like a fucking nutcase, and if you saw him at a party, he'd either be a real cool dude, like maybe, like, I don't know, a tattoo artist or who knows what, but he'd probably also just be the guy that eats raw meat out of the fridge and threatens someone with an axe towards the end of the night. Because look at that guy, oh my God, the shape of his head.
Like Anthony Dixon.
He kind of does look like Anthony Dixon, but I don't think he's putting it on.
Yeah.
Can't be trusted. Anyway, so that was their third nuclear test. So we know that they've had at least... Well, I mean, for all we know, they're actually buying them, you know, old Russian nuclear stock, because it seems like that's probably the best source for all dangerous
states. I'm sorry. I'm just going to stop you for a minute. I'm just looking at photos of Kim Jong-un now.
Yeah.
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, he looks like a nutter.
He looks like a three-year-old.
Right.
He looks like a fat toddler.
Yep. He gets all the rice. No one else gets any.
On an adult's body. Yep. I don't know how that happened.
And that haircut.
Although
my God.
His wife had a baby or is pregnant, so that's nice.
Look, he's as straight as Will Smith. All right.
What are you saying? Oh, my God. No, not Will Smith.
Will Smith has the hottest beard of all time. Of all time.
Couldn't you have gone Tom Cruise, not Will Smith?
Ah, Tom. Everyone knows about Tom Cruise. Come on, Will Smith. He's kind of he's more on the DL. He's been more successful in hiding the details of his secret relationships. Mm. Oh, Big Willie.
Matt Damon.
I'm fucking Matt Damon is definitely not the gay.
Okay.
He might be gay.
We could have a special episode.
Conjecture about which people are gay, and even though it makes no difference to anything, yeah, we could have a special episode just about that, all about Matt Damon.
You know, it's Pride Week. We should. Oh, never mind.
I don't think it's pride to talk about people who may or may not be in the closet. That's not really pride, is it? And you know what else
I
is not pride?
No, it's all very confusing.
I'll tell you what else is not pride.
And now the news.
Even though we've already done like four
Next
stories.
Story.
Next
That's
story.
All the news. Who are we kidding?
Let's say.
Poorly considered and unexpected segment.
That's just about the Kim Jong-un stuff, judging him by his appearance, even though his what he does is probably more terrifying than how he looks. Girl's teeth knocked out by police. No apology yet. No. Lovely Ella got her front teeth ripped out.
Ripped out
by the roots by having her face ground along concrete by a police officer, allegedly. And the police, they've decided that they've apologised to her in private, but they're not really going to apologise publicly until they've investigated. And that's probably fair, because I don't think anyone can say exactly who it was that did it.
Ow.
Yeah.
So that's fine. I see your police story, and I raise you one that I haven't researched very well, and I'm just remembering.
Yeah.
So have you been following the case of, I can't even remember his name, Dorna in the States?
Oh, man. No, this isn't fair. Christopher Jordan.
Christopher Dorna.
Christopher Jordan Dorna. I've got really good stories about that one.
Okay, well, go on with those, because the police there are not covering themselves in glory.
Okay, so what the... So Christopher Dorna is a black police officer. That he's black is about to be relevant. He's also
very large.
He's a former soldier or something.
Navy reservist.
Navy, whatever. Big black dude. He's quite terrifying. He's murdered several police officers, and he had a he recorded a video, I think, of himself talking shit about how, you know, his kind of his Unabomber style.
He posted a manifesto on Facebook, which was all words. There may be a video as well, I don't know.
Actually, that might be all I'm talking about.
There was a written manifesto on Facebook.
Might have just been the written manifesto. Anyway, talking about how the police wouldn't be able to capture him because he's been trained by the police because he was a police officer, so he knows all of their procedures, and he's just going to kill a bunch of them, and then he's going to escape, and it's going to be no problem for him.
He does claim to have actual grievances with the LAPD.
Well, that's probably true, because it is the LAPD, and they're not known for being always awesome. I'm sure that they are sometimes, or even mostly awesome. Anyway, so but having a grievance with someone doesn't give you justification to murder a couple of people.
But that's also in there.
So the police managed to track him down and shot at him quite a bit. And then it turned out that it wasn't him. It was actually this guy called David Perdue, who obviously he was also, you know, a big black guy. No, he was a white surfer trying to get to the beach. But you know, mistakes happen. Okay, I mean, what can you do? But then they found this guy Dorna again, and they opened fire on him. And then it turned out that actually they'd mistaken two women for this one big black guy, one who is about 70 years old and one who's about 40 years old. And what is the LAPD doing? And they're not black.
Now, to be fair...
They
were driving vehicles that matched the description of Dorna's vehicle. He had a grey Nissan something or other Titan pickup truck.
Yeah.
The old ladies delivering papers, they were driving a blue, I want to say Toyota pickup truck. So it wasn't Nissan.
Yeah.
So that's close.
Yeah.
And the other guy who had just incidentally passed through a police checkpoint, yeah, like seconds before he was rammed and shot at,
yeah,
he was driving a black, some other make pickup truck. So, I mean, they were all driving pickup trucks and people. They were all people and driving pickup trucks.
Shoot on sight.
Yeah, so this is the astonishing thing about this is that they've opened fire on people without even clearly identifying their target.
Three people now.
Let alone giving them any opportunity to surrender.
Three people, none of whom look like this big black dude.
Yeah.
Not even a little bit.
Yeah, and also the case of the surfer guy, whose name just momentarily escapes me, it wasn't actually the LAPD, it was the some other Los Angeles area police department.
Yeah.
Who opened fire on him, but same difference, really.
Yeah.
But they lied. they've changed their story so many times about what actually happened.
Yeah.
But it appears that what happened is he went through the checkpoint, and then for some reason they decided that they actually wanted to get him, and they rear-ended his car and fired on him.
Yeah.
He wasn't hit.
Yeah.
The one of the women in the truck delivering newspapers was hit.
Maybe they thought they were in one of those sort of Wayans Brothers situations where this guy, Dorner, had dressed himself up and he'd changed the colour of his skin with makeup and was dressing as two women.
Yeah, there's T-shirts apparently you can buy in LA now that say, "I'm not Michael, please don't shoot, I'm not Michael Dorner, thank you."
Yeah.
That big black men are wearing.
I don't think you even need to be a big black man to be worried. You just need to be.
I wouldn't. Yeah, I'm quite hoping he's captured by the time I go to LA. Otherwise, I'll be certain to stay very far away from any pickup trucks.
And this is yet more evidence of my theory about only school nurses being allowed firearms. These police officers who were given guns, they've been shooting at the wrong people. If these had been school nurses, no one would have got shot at.
No, because they would have been in school.
I absolutely guarantee it.
There's an interesting point, though. Someone did make a very interesting point that, you know, is this a fantastic example when we're talking about, you know, when people are talking about having armed guards in schools and even police can't sort their shit out and not fire on people inappropriately.
Even police can't.
Like, you know, what's to say that some armed guard in a school won't mistake some dejected student for a potential killer and take preemptive action?
You know, I understand that most security people are people who weren't able to qualify for being police officers. And given that police officers seem to be a little bit fucking wild with the guns, how wild are security officers?
Yeah, well, that's an issue.
I would say it was an issue. But once again, I think police officers, if you can't do that drunk, you can't do it. But
no.
But maybe they should do it stoned. Just mellow out a little bit. Use your gun as a bong. And just don't even have bullets. I've got a bullet in my cup mixed in with a Woodstock. Just by the way, it's all important stuff. Hey, guess what?
Next story.
Pope Teresa. This is all more old bloody
blah,
news.
Blah, blah, blah. Pope resigned, blah, blah, don't care, blah, blah, blah.
No, you're not actually correct. Findus beef lasagna contained up to 100%.
You said Pope.
Up to 100% Pope meat.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's why that's
because it's Polish, you see. I'm not sure how that tracks. So Pope Ratzinger, the former Jungvolk, which is, you know, people generally agree that that's probably not important because probably every German of his age was forced to be Jungvolk. but he definitely was responsible for hiding all the child-raping paedophile priests. That definitely was his job. And he did that quite effectively. So there are a lot of really good reasons to criticise him, actually.
Yeah, apparently there aren't a lot of cardinals who haven't been particularly in some way involved with the hiding of the child-raping priests.
Yeah, and it is
sort of systematic within the Catholic Church.
It is an institutional shame, and that doesn't excuse any of them.
Yeah,
does it?
Yeah, I can't give any. I've looked, I cannot find any fucks to give
about all the children getting raped.
No, that plenty of theoretical fucks about that.
No fucks about this Pope resigning.
About anything to do with Pope papacy, really, unless they elect some incredibly forward-thinking Pope who brings the Catholic Church somewhere near the 20th century.
All right, you put your $50 on that, and I'll put I'll put my $50 on it being another old guy who's a bit fucking crazy. Just another one of them.
And speaks Latin.
Yeah. Oh my God, seriously, what? Seriously, popes. This is a man who is venerated by a billion people around the world who treat him as if he is the font of all knowledge straight from the mind of God, literally, right? He can make people saints, and he can probably...
We should put a not safe for Catholics warning on the beginning of this episode when we release it.
No.
In fact, we should probably consider this whole show not safe for Catholics.
Pretty much at all times. Safe for anyone who is religious. But former Catholics will probably enjoy it. But they'll be over it. They'll be over it because they've all heard all this stuff before.
And they're much better at it than either you or I.
So that's boring news, but I've got some really good news for you. This is from Tumeke.
Mm.
From Tumeke. Dear Blogging Fano, I never thought I'd ever have much in common with the Pope. But today is also the day that I am announcing that this will be my final month at Tumeke. That's right, Bomber is retiring from the blog. Unfortunately, he does promise that he's going to come back and do something else in March.
okay.
Yeah.
Good. Oh, my God. Is he going to be the new editor of Truth?
Bomber, bombastic. He doesn't win anyone over to the cause. He is allegedly, supposedly on the side of right. But, geez, he does sound like just a really angry guy who thinks everyone else is stupid. Which, I mean, I have some sympathy for that. But I feel like he doesn't have any charisma to go with it. And maybe I have some sympathy for that as well. But, you know, anyway, maybe I should stop digging this hole. Let's get some facts into this.
Next story.
This is from futurity.org, a site which I quite like. But it is a bit press releasey, but it's press releases from scientists. The genetics of fear can shape political views. Anyway, so this is basically, this is from the American Journal of Political Science. Not everyone is equally predisposed or influenced by hot button issues, you know, political style, immigration, war stuff. And there's some kind of genetic component to whether you are going to be affected or attracted to these, you know, the crazy wedge stuff. Yeah, apparently. Well, that's what these people say anyway. By examining the different ways that fear manifests itself in individuals and its correlation to political attitudes, the researchers found that people who have a greater genetic liability to experience higher levels of social fear tend to be more supportive of anti-immigration and pro-segregation policies. So anyway.
All right. There you go.
They're afraid, but I mean, I think we already knew that. They're afraid.
Okay.
They're afraid, and we are not, and that's why they do things wrong.
Next story.
I've got great news.
Yeah.
Adobe
has
reduced, immediately reduced the price of its fantastic Creative Cloud offering.
That I think you quite like, because it's got a
good, I do.
It's had a good price already.
Creative Cloud is great. It's, yeah. It's like just subscription-based access to all the Adobe tools, plus some cloud storage, but that's kind of irrelevant, and some cloud-based tools that you can't get otherwise. But the important thing is that you pay just a monthly fee
right. And
get access to all of the Adobe tools that you previously either paid a substantial amount of money for or pirated. And, of course, they're updated all the time. Whenever the new versions come out, you get those.
Yeah.
It was $62.99 Australian for New Zealanders, because we live in Australasia. We have to pay the Australian fee. $62.99 a month. It has gone down to $49.99 a month. The American price, so what the Americans are paying, was $49.99 US dollars a month. Totally unrelated to that is the fact that Adobe, Apple, and Microsoft have been summoned in front of an Australian governmental investigation about price gouging, pricing in Australia.
It's a complete coincidence.
Complete coincidence. Look, it's probably not. But it's good that it's having an effect, because it is ridiculous how much Australia, and to some extent, I suppose, by extension, New Zealand, has to pay as a premium just for living here, considering the Australian dollar is practically on parity with the US dollar.
Yeah. Last time I mentioned this and how sick I am of New Zealand getting price gouging, I was told that it was just because they were hedging and it was perfectly reasonable.
Well, that's what they've said in the past.
It's not true. It's not true. They charge what they can, and I think that that is a personality flaw of New Zealanders. We pay too much for things.
Well, they charge what they can based on what they used to. Like, they used to, you know, the costs used to be more reasonable. It used to be when the New Zealand dollar wasn't as strong against the US dollar, or alternatively, the US dollar wasn't as weak against everything else.
Yeah.
It used to be that the pricing was, you know, we were still paying a bit more, but it wasn't unreasonable.
Half shark, alligator, half man.
Yeah, their pricing hasn't adjusted anyway.
Yeah.
I got another one.
Yep.
You want me to push your button?
I'm going to push a different button, then I'm going to push that button, then I'm going to push the
next story.
I don't know what the ding was for, but all right.
It was approval, Dylan.
Approval.
You're doing such a good job, Dylan.
Did you hear there was a massive phishing attack on Yahoo Extra customers, or extra customers using Yahoo Mail?
You know what? Usually I pretend to have not heard about this stuff, but I sort of only peripherally noticed this. I think you were talking to Yuha about it, but no, I haven't read about it.
All right, so a bunch of people, I'm surprised you didn't receive any actually, a lot of extra users found themselves emailing all their contacts or possibly even everyone they'd ever spoken to in their webmail, sending emails to them with a single spammy link, just a URL that usually went to some sort of, you know, lose weight fast or make money from home.
Hey, Dylan, have you heard that there's this doctor who'll tell you about this weird
secret? Yes, magical theory. I know.
Yeah.
Anyway, Telecom said, oh, it was phishing. It was phishing. People clicked on links and it was phishing. And a lot of people said, no, I don't think it was because, you know, an email account that I have not logged into in 6 months sent one. And so I certainly didn't click on any phishing links,
yeah,
et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, it turns out there's probably something else going on. Yahoo had previously had an issue with a cross-site scripting bug whereby it was possible to get a user to visit a link,
yeah,
and send stuff in the background, but it's also, you know, different people are making different suggestions. I don't know what the latest is, but whatever it is, it's more than Telecom is saying, I think, or probably more than Yahoo is saying, because Telecom outsources all their mail to Yahoo.
Yeah.
Apparently they're now considering possibly bringing it back in-house, because I guess that's just a problem for them.
Well, I think they probably should. Or they could maybe go to Gmail, because golly, Google is good at running email, I tell you what.
Yeah, until one day they're not, maybe. Who knows?
Unfortunately, you just mentioned fishing, and now all I can talk about is the fishing that I did on the weekend. I went fishing, Dylan.
Next story.
Oh, but I trawled for carway with
next
these...
Next story.
Oh, but it was so much fun, Dylan. It was so much fun.
Next story.
You're
Marmageddon. Marmageddon.
You're making me feel... Marmageddon. Marmageddon. Tell me about Marmageddon.
Oh, it was fantastically announced live on Campbell Live. Live on Campbell Live. That's redundant.
Yeah.
It was fantastically announced on Campbell. No, it's not redundant, because some of the stuff they do on there is not live.
Mm.
It was announced live on Campbell Live on TV3 that Marmageddon is to be over, that Mama will be back on our shelves by March the 20th.
Yeah.
Yay, I'm not buying anything from Sanitarium. I don't care that Marmite's coming back. I've decided I'm not giving them my money anymore because they are a religious organisation who doesn't pay tax, and I don't think that's okay.
But surely they generate profit off the massive sales of their products.
Yes, but they're entirely owned by a religious organisation, so thus they are exempt from tax. Also, arguably, that religious organisation spends their money at times promoting causes that I don't agree with, things like the not gays.
The not gays? You don't agree with the not gays?
No, I don't agree with promoting the not gays.
Promote the not gays? Why do not gays need promotion?
I don't know.
The not gays have had it too good for too long.
That's it. I've moved on now. So no more Weet-Bix for me, no more Marmite for me. It's all Vegemite and Pam's wheat biscuits from here on out.
I don't know. They're probably all made in the same places, aren't they?
No, I'm pretty sure most of the... I don't think Sanitarium does any of the third-party manufacturing. No. I know Hubbard's used to do a lot of it.
Yeah. Who makes Coca-Cola? I know. It's Coca-Cola.
Next story.
Coca-Cola contributed to death of woman. And that's why I've got no Coca-Cola in my what am I calling my shandy? I'm calling it a Woodstock Bullet shandy. There's no Coca-Cola in that, and that means it's perfectly safe. I'm a doctor. You can trust me. Coca-Cola says there is not enough evidence to link the death of an Invercargill woman who was drinking up to 10 litres of Coca-Cola a day and had a heart attack and died. 10 litres a day. Now, I would say that it's not fair to blame Coca-Cola because she had an issue. But the Coca-Cola, I mean, how do you doubt that that had some contribution to her death?
I think drinking almost any amount of anything, even water for that matter, but anything that isn't water is going to contribute to your death, surely.
I think that's right. 10 litres of water a day, I think you'd be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, that's quite a lot of water.
That's a lot of water.
And, yeah, anything that has any sort of additives in it, surely.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, sound like a good idea.
The coroner said that he thought there was a link. Coca-Cola say they think there's not. You know who I'm putting my money on? That's right. The person who's independent, the coroner. Anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's not really fair to say there's a link in the fact that there's not anything, you know, he's not saying there's anything, well, it's not a reasonable assumption to say there's anything dangerous about Coca-Cola in this instance.
No, it was the way that she used it.
Oh, absolutely. And, yeah. You know, yeah, I think drinking 10 litres of orange juice a day would probably...
It would rot away your teeth and you'd be in big strife. Yep, absolutely. And you'd have all sorts of problems. I think that, I mean, you're right.
It was the Coca-Cola probably contributed, but it wasn't Coke's fault because a normal person doesn't have 10 litres of Coke.
No normal person does that.
Normal person does that. But
crazy,
guess what?
Insane.
Pretty soon, as of February the 28th, a normal person will be able to have Pepsi's new breakfast, Mountain Dew. Oh, my God. It's called Kickstart, and it's Mountain Dew mixed with fruit juice, and that means it's healthy. It's got just the right amount of kick to help you start your day, Dylan.
That sounds amazing.
I know. I like Mountain Dew so much, but
I can't drink Up and Go anymore because it's made by Sanitarium. So maybe that'll be the thing that I could have in breakfast time.
Maybe it will. I stopped liking Mountain Dew so much when they took away the liter bottles. I love the what were they called? Big gulps or whatever they were called. That was the perfect size to have slightly too much, but not big enough to have far too much, and not small enough that you don't quite have too much. It was just
it was big enough just that you the right actually, amount. If you went to the service station to buy a drink, you might actually consider the 1 liter. Whereas when they always try and sell you the 1.5, you're like, fuck it, I don't want to buy the 1.5.
Fuck I'm getting the 2.25. Fuck you.
Yeah. I'll pay twice as much for this 600 ml.
You're not the boss of me. I'm having 2.25 liters of this poison instead of 1 liter.
Yeah. Seems legit.
Yeah, legit is this story. Next story. Passenger brings a kilo of snake meat into New Zealand. Kilogram of snake meat brought into Auckland Airport by a woman travelling from Vietnam has surprised border staff. The passenger who was travelling with her daughter declared the dried snake meat along with some unidentifiable fish, which sounds very suspicious to me.
Is this like snake jerky?
I don't know what the preparation is. Mm. But the Ministry for Primary Industries manager Craig Hughes said it smelt a bit like dried fish and wasn't very pleasant. Anyway, they declared it, so it's all okay. The stuff was taken away from them and they didn't get to eat it. I would definitely eat this stuff if it was prepared legally.
You watch Border Patrol?
Yep.
Or Border Security? No, it's Border Patrol here, isn't it? And that show could just as well be renamed Asian People Bring Weird Foods Into the Country.
Covered in bugs.
Or Asian People Don't Declare Their Strange Food. That's
seriously,
that
just
says.
Declare it. Just declare it.
All this food? No, I didn't know. I didn't know I had to declare that.
All this stuff that I've hidden and this artificial lining
this
I sewed into my...
Oh, I see. When you said food, I thought you meant food, not food.
I do have some sympathy for the people who have, like, an orange in their handbag. But they still... I mean, you walk past the signs. I just think, in those cases...
I always declare something. Someone told me once that it's good to declare something because you actually get through quicker because the declare line
sometimes
is usually shorter than the non-declare line.
Well, sometimes. Yeah, I've declared things when I felt like I needed to declare things. Even when I was told by my travelling companions not to, but I don't.
We came back,
we came back
to New Zealand and the woman at MAF or whatever it's called these days asked us if we had any honey with us coming back from Australia. Yeah. We declared that no, we didn't have any honey because Australian honey was disgusting.
Right.
We had some Australian honey. It was disgusting.
You know what else is disgusting?
Next story.
Findus beef lasagna, which
100%
is
pope meat. I know, we talked
about
this.
Up to 100% pope meat, which is incredible because you wouldn't think there'd be that much pope meat. Those chimneys must be blowing black and white smoke almost constantly. Maybe the white smoke is when they declare a new pope and the black smoke is when they cook him. Maybe that's how it works.
Maybe it's not pope meat, but like potential pope meat. All the ones who didn't actually get to be pope have been turned into lasagna.
Maybe that's the paedophiles.
Do you think
who they've
maybe
finally found an ultimate solution for? Maybe
do you think maybe you're
Ratzinger, finally implemented some of the ideas that he had drummed into him when he was a member of the Jungvolk, and he's found a final solution for those pedo priests.
So I'm sorry, I'm just reading the notes here, and your story that you've noted here actually says horse meat. Do you think you've got confused somewhere?
Up to 100% pope. It's North Korean lasagna, Dylan. Let's take this thing full circle, jerk. Okay?
Absolutely. Rice and horse meat.
Now, here's the thing. I think there is no problem with eating a horse. I think you should just be told what you're eating. It's exactly the same problem you have when you say, I want a beef sausage, and they give you a pork sausage. There are a lot of people who do not want to eat pork because they have weird problems. Because pork, let's be honest, pork is the greatest of all meats. But there are people who have very
they have really legitimate reasons for not wanting to do it. And some of them think that it's because they're going to be cast into the fires of hell. And in that case, you just have to say on the package, beef and pork. In this case, you needed to say maybe up to 1% or 0% probably of beef, but mostly horse lasagna. And people would still buy it, especially if you put it on there in French. Although I'd cheval, I guess. Cheval, that's horse in French, isn't it?
Something like that.
100% French or Estonian cheval lasagna.
I'm more impressed that that anything is 100% meat, because our pies are like, you know. 60.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. The lasagna was probably 10% horse, but 100% of the meat content was horse.
Yeah. Whatever. This is interesting though. The issue, aside from the horse thing, if it wasn't horse, but the issue is that, you know, clearly the question is more about maintaining and managing supply chains and how much do we, you know, it's insane what it's exposing about where all these things come from.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the country because there's too many countries in Europe.
Hungarian horses from an Estonian supplier to a French manufacturer sold in British supermarkets.
And the government of whatever country processed these horses into little conveniently sized pieces of meat. They said, no, this was processed as horse meat and it was sold as horse meat, and the problem was not with us because we think it's fine for you to eat horse. And the French think it's fine to eat horse. They eat horse all the time. And I would be, as I've said, pretty happy to eat horse. I've eaten all sorts of stupid stuff that people wouldn't be delighted to eat, including insects. And they're crunchy and delicious and taste like roasted hair with a soy sauce.
I don't really have a problem with I find it hard to draw distinctions with any animal particularly.
Yeah.
Meat's meat. Meat, meat. Meaty meat.
You know what's not? And that is fat. One fat is not equivalent to another fat, and apparently the switch to vegetable fats increased the risk of death in the general population, over the use of animal fat. A new look, this is another thing from Futurity, a new look at data missing from a 1966 to 1973 study, although how you can look at data that's missing, I'm not sure, casts doubt on current dietary advice about vegetable fats and heart health. For patients with heart disease, switching to polyunsaturated vegetable fats from saturated animal fats is linked to an increased risk of death.
A lot of people have been saying that sort of thing about saturated fats
for a long time, though. Yep, for a while. And the thing is that the increase in obesity has been, at the same time as the decrease in the consumption of fat. And we've replaced it with sugar, and we've replaced it with really shitty sugar. We've replaced it with sugar made from fucking corn.
We haven't.
Well, everyone has to, because there's so much of the bloody stuff around, and economics of the stuff, because it's so heavily subsidised, are that you'd be mad not to use it.
Well, it's not here, though. It is in the States. We don't.
There isn't corn syrup in New Zealand food? I mean, no, it's not, obviously, it's not to the same prevalence.
Nowhere near as much.
Nowhere near as much. You're absolutely right. But we do get some.
Cane sugar is still a much cheaper option.
It's so much more delicious.
Anyway.
Americans in the know go for Passover Coke and Mexican Coke in large numbers because it is cane sugar Coke, because corn syrup Coke is not kosher or whatever. Anyway, so this is another. Now, obviously, there's been a bunch of stories here. It's no accident about things that you eat, things that go into your body.
So, next story. I've got one I want to get to.
All right, let me find my button.
Next story.
There you go.
Yeah.
Back to sort of the way we are sometimes talking about things to do with, you know, copyright and stuff. A US court has declared that an IP address snapshot, as in a quick capture of something happening, is not sufficient evidence of copyright infringement. The judge has said that essentially seeing someone transferring a part of a file at some given time is not sufficient evidence that a crime has occurred. It would be kind of like, and this wasn't the example he gave, but one I've come up with, be kind of like seeing on a store security camera someone putting an item in their pocket and trying to prosecute them on that, despite the fact they may have put it back on the shelf and left the store without it later on.
Yeah.
Or taken it out of their pocket and paid for it, for that matter.
Yeah.
The evidence of partial process, essentially the evidence that's given in that circumstance isn't enough to prove that they either completed the transfer,
or they may have used a magical cloning machine that perfectly duplicated the one on the store shelf, and they were able to take their copy without taking the one in the store and leave with it, and then later buy the Blu-ray and go to the concert and pay at least 50 times more than they would have paid for that fucking MP3.
Sure, there's that too.
Dylan.
But anyway, it's an interesting point, I think, about the fact that, yeah, I mean, the types of the detection that is considered in our law to be evidence, full stop, doesn't detect anything. It detects at one very specific moment in time a specific IP address was connected to, presumably some BitTorrent cloud, and engaged in some amount of sharing of data, but there's no indication from them how much had been downloaded, how long the connection went before and after the point at which the information was gathered.
Yep.
Did they stay connected long enough to even download the song?
And even if they did download the song, how many times did how long did they seed it for? Because on the New Zealand internet, upstream speed is vanishingly smaller generally than our downstream speed. So I would say that if a person downloads it, they probably on average will upload about 10% of it. I would
RIANZ says that
they say that you upload 88,000% of it.
Yeah, 90 copies are sent back, something like that. They say that for every download, that it is then uploaded 90 times to other users, which is absurd. That's an astonishing, if you talk about BitTorrent terms, that's an astonishing seeding ratio.
It is absurd, and if only I downloaded music illegally, I would love to be before that tribunal, because what I've seen of the responses so far, they've been a bit weak.
Well, and to be fair, they've not, that argument that they've made hasn't been upheld at all. About that.
That's because it's not bollocks. All of the RIAA, and I guess by association RIANZ, although I haven't looked at how their arguments differ from RIAA, all of their claims that they've ever made, once they've been appropriately addressed by, you know, academics and researchers, they're always found to be completely shonky. They just make it up. And the real results of, you know, people downloading stuff tends to be that people who download are the people who spend the most on media. They're not thieves, they're fans. Anyway, Queen Ant mates once, stores sperm for 20 years. Dylan, apropos of nothing.
Thanks for sharing.
What's your auntie been talking about?
My auntie has been talking about two things.
Yeah.
Lately, one is a book.
Yeah.
Have you
a book? A book.
But to be fair, I'm reading it as an ebook. Yeah. So
an ebook.
Yeah, that's right. It's called Ghost in the Wires. It's Kevin Mitnick's autobiography.
Oh.
I don't know if you're familiar with Kevin Mitnick, but I remember reading Takedown, which was John Markoff and
the Japanese chap.
The Japanese chap whose name escapes me.
Shimamura.
Shimamura, yes.
Yeah.
Their account of their interaction with Kevin Mitnick, which Mitnick has always claimed was greatly embellished.
Yeah.
Anyway, Kevin Mitnick's account is quite long, quite detailed. He seems to have he claims in a number of places to have an incredibly good memory, so he says that a lot of the details are quite accurate.
Yeah.
Even small details. But it's quite interesting about, you know, it goes from sort of his earliest encounters with hacking and with the law in that respect, right through to, you know, to his capture. The big stuff. I didn't realize, for example, I didn't realize he had as much history with the law before the big takedown.
Yeah.
As he had, but it's interesting. I haven't finished it yet. I'm only about halfway through, so I don't know how it ends. Well, I roughly know how it ends, but you know. Yeah. And the other thing, that my auntie's been talking about is a TV show called The Americans.
The Americans, Dylan. I watched that on TV 3.
Yes, my auntie was going to send it to me, but then I said, don't bother. Because TV3 is playing it just 2 or 3 days after it screens in the States. It screens on maybe it's a bit longer than that, but it screens on like a Wednesday, so like a Thursday here, and they play it on a Monday.
I think I've only watched the first episode.
And there are two now. There's been two episodes. It's quite good. I quite like it. It's very different from other things and has an interesting balance of 80s nostalgia and Cold War intrigue and espionage and also weird family wifey husbandy dynamic thing,
also murder and rape,
a little bit of that, yeah,
no spoilers,
yeah, a little bit of that, you know, but that's all part of the espionage and Cold War goodness.
Don't forget to rewind the tape. Let's open up the toot bag.
Kevin Long,
at Kevin Long on Twitter. I, for one, am excited about the Discourse special event.
Yes, for one. That's it. Good.
I don't think there's going to be one, Dylan.
There fucking is.
All right. Well, we can have a special event, just us and a barbecue.
I'm not sure if we're going to invite the entire audience, but we'll get some people. I think it was said it was going to be like the March the 10th. Sunday, March the 10th. I think that works.
I don't think the special event is going to be in a place. I think it's going to be on the internet.
No, it's going to be in a place. You're going to come here and I'm going to cook steak in my barbecue and we're going to talk shit for a little while.
All right, we can do it that way. Yeah, we can take this show on the road.
Good. Done. The program is organized. Actually, vaguely related to the auntie thing we were talking about before.
Yeah. What's your auntie been sending you on TV3?
I made Netflix work on my Apple TV.
How did you do that?
Well, I was going to use a VPN.
Yeah.
But the problem with using a VPN is that most of the VPNs...
Discourse.co.nz/VPN.
It's surprisingly
inexpensive.
They require some client software on your PC to establish a VPN from your PC to the States or whatever.
No, I just used the built-in Windows thing.
Okay, well, the one I looked at, because the problem is my Apple TV.
You didn't use Discourse.co.nz/VPN. That's the issue.
Well, I looked at that, actually. I investigated that as to whether it would work, because what I wanted to do was set up a router so that I could have an IP address that I just set as the gateway and everything that goes there gets VPN'd.
Yeah, it's just PPTP. So, I mean, whatever supports PPTP will do the job.
Apparently, anyway, I don't know. They wanted to charge extra for it. You had to buy the premium version of the Discourse.co.nz/VPN for using with DDWRT, which was what I was looking at. But what I discovered is you don't even need to do that for Netflix. You can for lots of other things, but for Netflix you can get away with Unblock Us, or I'm using Overplay.
Overplay.
Overplay has a service called SafeDNS, which just does some magical DNS shit.
Overplay. Like a 1980s action movie. Overplay.
Overplay.net.
Overplay with Jean-Claude Van Damme and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Anyway, Overplay. So all I have to do to make my Apple
they're
TV
twins. You wouldn't
work,
believe it from looking at them, but they're twins. Overplay.
Was I changed the DNS server in my Apple TV. And from that point onwards, Netflix works.
So you logged in as root password Alpine, and away you went. Did you have to do that to change your DNS, or can you do it through the interface?
Just do it through the GUI.
Well, sweet. All right. Well, and that's fun. That's very fun.
It's like $5 a month for the DNS magic service from like Unblock Us or the other one that I just mentioned. I'm not going to say again because you'll go weird like you just did.
Yeah.
And then whatever it is, $8 a month.
Overplus!
$8 a month US for Netflix. So my children have been watching an immense number of Netflix kids programs. The annoying thing now is that if I go to Netflix, of course, and I look at recommended programming, it's like SpongeBob and Thomas and Friends and Hercules and all sorts of other ridiculous stuff that I don't want to watch.
Best of Life Hacker.
I know, it's been so long. Dylan, the beginner's guide to coupons.
Oh, yeah.
Coupons. The beginner's guide. Love them or hate them, take them or leave them. Using coupons can save you a lot of money if you know how to use them correctly. And then they have a virtual novel describing how to use coupons, because it's not as simple as you think.
But it actually isn't.
Well, it sort of is.
But you know the people, you know there's those people who go crazy with the coupons and just make the insane savings. You're like, I've saved 98% or something. Those people have some serious coupon tricks, and they take their coupon shit very seriously.
I remember reading a story about someone who went with coupons for basically, I think, a whole month and only eating... He may have come out on top, but he may have been coupons and $10. And his eating was pretty basic. He was pretty unhappy a lot of the time. But then some coupons became available and other, you know, he was able to slowly add like fruit into his diet and get like sauces to go with his plain rice that he got in large quantities. But some of those things are weird. Like you get sort of cash back stuff, and you get more than you spend in a weird way, and then you sort of don't spend any money, and it's bizarre. So you're right, there are ways to do these funny couponing things. I just don't think any of those happen in New Zealand.
Yeah, no, we don't have couponing to nearly the same extent that the Americans seem to.
Yeah, clip based on need. Figure out exactly what you'll be shopping for.
Every time I buy anything online now, I before I in the checkout when it says, you know, coupon code, I always Google coupon code for this and see if I can find something. Often I can.
Me too. It's a bloody great idea. It's a, that's a hot tip. Right
hot
there.
Tip.
Hot tip.
Life hacker.
Two.
Google the site you're on for coupons and you'll find something. You get a free t-shirt or something. Love you. See you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
You're listening to the weekly show on sorry. With course.
We are helping people, Dylan.
Helping.
In these challenging times, global financial crisis, record unemployment, New Zealanders fleeing the country for Australia, we are helping people get cheaper domain names and free t-shirts on Threadless.
So much help. I've never seen a Threadless coupon for a free t-shirt. I should keep that one.
I think you probably get a free t-shirt if you buy 8 t-shirts.
I only ever buy Threadless t-shirts when they've got $10 tees and $6 shipping.
Yeah.
When those two things come up together, then I'm going t-shirt crazy.
Daddy's getting a new t-shirt.
Daddy's getting 7 new t-shirts and accidentally buys one of them twice. except then I have two of this one t-shirt and I gave one of them to my father. It's just to add on to the Christmas present that we got him.
Right.
So now the problem is I have to be sure that I'm not wearing that t-shirt when I see my father in the case he wears that t-shirt.
I've got the same color pair of shoes as a friend and so I just never wear them in case.
Terrible.
Yeah, just in case. I mean, not just the same color, but the exact same. A pair of green and white DCs and I just never wear them.
One of the directors I work with wears quite a lot of Threadless t-shirts, so it's always, you know, there's always a slight tension.
What is there? It must be like the same shirt as me. 1 in 180 chance or something.
Yeah, although we have slightly similar tastes in our Threadlessing.
Yeah. I've got really bad news, and that is that for my birthday on the weekend, I was given a fishing rod, so you're going to hear more about fishing, not fewer. Is that how language?
Yeah, that is how language.
Exactly. I accidentally the whole. Oh, I forgot to do my story from verifiedfacts.org.
Oh well, damn next it. Time.
The truth about communists, Dylan. The truth about communists. Oh. The government doesn't want us to know how many people are communists. That's not what it says. The government doesn't want us to know how many people communists have embedded in the US Mint. If they told us, decades of the US Mint's corruption, failures, and policy missteps would suddenly become obvious as elements of communists' master plan. Thousands of documents, Dylan, thousands of documents found in the remains of the World Trade Center contained evidence indicating that the US Mint has a direct role in the creation and dissemination of fluorine. Dylan, several academics, not one, maybe two, maybe not three. Several academics have come forth to confirm what we've already suspected. Over 250 people have reported that radio broadcasts mentioning the role of communists in Occupy Wall Street almost immediately cut to static. Dylan, communist leaders even, have claimed time and again that they have nothing to do with fluorine, in direct contradiction to evidence provided by renowned psychics. It's a slippery slope. If people don't admit this fact, we will all be in big trouble. The truth is out there. Find it. Find it.
So I'm not 100% sure I understand the point of verified facts.
The point of verified facts is that it randomly generates sort of seemingly plausible conspiracies out of thin air.
Yeah, that's what I thought. They're pretty good.
Yeah, they're pretty good. I'm pretty much done. I would like to give some more time to the ant story. That's important stuff.
Okay. Put that back in next week and we'll start with it.
For the first time, no, I'm going to do it now. For the first time, Stanford University biologists have been able to identify specific parent ants and their own children in wild ant colonies, making it possible to study reproduction trends. The findings, published in the online journal, the online version of the Journal of Animal Ecology, show that in a remarkable display of longevity, an original...
Only the online version? Didn't make it to the print version?
Don't know. An original queen ant was found to be producing new ants several decades after mating.
Wow.
Several decades.
Imagine the child support.
It would be terrifying. I think the whole system would be quite different.
So, the thing that immediately springs to my mind when you mention the details of this article.
Yeah.
Who the fuck chooses to do that with their life?
Study ants.
Yeah.
I bet it's the kid who was a bit creepy about how much they killed ants when they were little.
But it's like, so they've like study ants, but not just study ants, study ants to the in enough detail that you're studying ant reproduction.
Study ants in enough detail that you know that 28 years after this one ant did something, they then do another related thing. 28 years later.
Who does that? How? It's just...
Imagine the spreadsheet.
You know, you think of the stuff you do for your work and you think, you know, yeah, it's fine. You just think, fuck, how just intensely into whatever the crazy thing it is you do you have to be for that sort of stuff?
I can't remember what I did 28 minutes ago at work, not 28 years, not for damn sure.
How many times, sort of out of 10, do you say, out of 10 times you start a new tab, open a new tab in your browser, how many times do you think you forget what it is instantly that you were going to type into that new tab?
Out of 10 times, I'd say it's 8 out of 10.
How are we so broken?
We are terribly broken. Now, my tab issue at the moment is much better than it was because I just killed them.
Control T, mind blank.
I just killed them. I made them go away. Let's see. What is it? Task manager will show me a list, but it won't give me a count. I actually haven't got that many open because they're all really related to discourse, and so I'm going to kill them all as I go through and put everything into the show notes. So at the moment, it's more or less a clean slate. More or less. I had a bad week though for tabs. At one point, and I mentioned this on Twitter, I maybe shouldn't have because, you know, my many failings. If I started talking about them on Twitter, I'd just never stop. Essentially, that probably is all I talk about, but I use secret codes. I had 52 tabs open. I think it was 52 or something like that. That's too many tabs.
Yeah, my computer tends to, the work computer I use tends to shit itself when I have too many tabs open.
That's because you use an HP workstation.
Well, in this case, it's an HP XW1800 that was made in like 2004.
And it is the best. It is the best XW82 made in 2004 that has ever existed.
I'd say so.
According to the last paragraph of an article I will shortly write, which is sponsored by HP.
Good idea. But it unfortunately doesn't cope so well with the internet in 2013. Well, it does cope all right, but you know, when I try to open too many tabs and play 6 Vimeo videos at the same time...
6 at once, golly.
No, not obviously it's not 6 at once. It's impossible that Vimeo could actually play 6 videos concurrently.
Mm. I haven't finished my drink.
Well, that's okay. I've finished my talking.
It was a litre. But that doesn't really mean anything because you don't know how much Sprite there was in it or how much ice. All right. Have I got a button?
Fish and chat. Fish and chips.
Sorry, the show is
cancelled.
Beep, beep.
All right. Beep. Hey, chat room guys. I haven't really spoken to you this week. I was occupied making a goddamn podcast. Award winning. Actually, have we ever won any awards? I think we've never won any awards. We've been mentioned on NBR, but they didn't give us awards and were self-nominated for the Onyas. Oh, fuck. I can't believe that didn't work out. The Onyas thing. Oh, didn't even get shortlisted as far as I can tell. What a rort that was. Bastards. Maybe we should have some kind of awards.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I went looking for... So, my hotel in LA, I was like, oh, I wonder what's around. So I went and did Street View outside the hotel I'm staying at. First of all, it's like, fuck, this looks...
Are there daytime street prostitutes?
Maybe. But I was like, oh, look, there's a Mexican restaurant across the road. It looks kind of run down, so that's probably quite good.
Yeah.
Looked up the reviews for it. The reviews are all fantastic. They say really good, great food here.
Have the fish taco, Dylan.
Inexpensive, really good. But a bunch of them also say, bit of a gang area, don't recommend visiting at night. I'm like, oh, good.
Well, just taxi up to the hotel, get the fuck out, and get directly into your hotel.
It's directly across the road from the hotel.
That's all right.
Mm. Anyway, so that's good. And then I also found out that I can get, apparently, Nathan's original hot dogs from a number of places in Vegas for like 75 cents or $1.50 or something.
Right.
So that's also exciting.
Is that a good thing, or are they kind of a bit generic?
No, they're the hot dog.
Are they, though?
No, the beef frank. They sell 190 million of them a year or something stupid.
But does that mean that they're good? Or does that mean they're popular?
I don't know. Whatever, I'm going to buy a proper American hot dog with relish and shit on it.
Dylan, I just realized I was making a terrible mistake. Dylan, let me start again.
eat the fuck out of those goddamn sausages. You're going to love it.
That's right. Thank you.
And just remember, the only legit way is just mustard, I think. Just mustard.
No, mustard. The standard American way is mustard, tomato sauce, and relish.
I think the standard American way is just mustard.
I don't think that's correct.
I will take it to the sheep, and we can let him be the judge. Is it mustard or is it mustard, tomato sauce, and relish? He says mustard. Small Bell chimed in as well and said that Dylan was right. So we need to take it to the adjudicator, which I guess is Google. And I'm assuming from the sound of rapid typing from your little chubby little fingers, Dylan, I'm going to assume that you've just been looking it up.
No, well, it's unclear.
You say no, and it's unclear. And that means mustard. Admit it, bitch.
The most popular condiment with 32% of respondents preferring it was mustard.
Yeah.
23% said they preferred ketchup.
I've heard enough. The chili internet has spoken, the answer was mustard. Tell me I'm your daddy.
I don't think I'll be telling you that.
Tell me I'm your sausage daddy.
So New York, let's see what.
Tell me I know more about Franks than you do. Say it. I'm the bacon master and the sausage king. Say it.
I'm still working on the condiments here.
Say it. I tell you though, I mean, the way I would have it is basically you put everything on there. Put everything on, and as long as I can get it some corner of it into my mouth, I'll be happy.
So it seems the New York hot dog from places like Papaya King,
yep.
The usual condiments are mustard and sauerkraut with optional sweet onions and a tomato-based sauce.
Yep.
So that's that. I always thought the standard was mustard and it was tomato sauce and mustard and relish was also popular.
The standard really is just mustard. But I'm not saying that other options aren't popular. But just
there's a whole Wikipedia page on
the classic
regional hot dog variations.
The classic thing is mustard. Is that was really my point. And I'm still the sausage king, bitch. Give me a Frank with cheese in it, though. Give me all the condiments. Put it all on there, and I will find a way to eat it, and I will love it.
Well, you want to go to Fritz's Wieners, don't you? That's what you want to do.
Put your wiener in me, Fritz.
So there's a Chicago... I think it's Chicago style. No, what the fuck is it? I want to say Chicago. Oh, no. Yeah, Chicago-style hot dogs are topped with mustard, fresh tomatoes, onions, sport peppers, bright green relish, dill pickles, celery salt, but they don't have ketchup on them.
That sounds really good. What did he call it? Sport peppers.
It's a small capsicum. It's like those little chili-like capsicums that aren't really chilies. They're just capsicums.
Roadfood.com. Sport peppers. What are they? ? From 2004. I think this is going to have to go on the end of the show because we've gone into... We're learning things, Dylan. We're learning things together. What exactly is a sport pepper? A sport pepper is a southern thing. Down here, we put it on collards, etc. It's collard greens, which I'm not entirely sure what they are either. They're small green peppers, and they're hot, and they're packed in vinegar and come in a bottle, like Texas Pete. I don't know what that is. The peppers are small and whole. Blah, blah, blah. Apparently, it's a Chicago thing as well, used on Italian beefs and Chicago dogs. Small, green, hot peppers.
So the Fenway signature hot dog,
yeah,
is a hot dog is boiled and grilled Fenway style,
yeah,
then served on a New England style bun. What the fuck, Jesus, yeah. Hot dogs, covered with ketchup and relish. Yeah. No mustard on that one.
Have you ever heard of Straight Dope?
Yes.
StraightDope.com.
Haven't been there for a long time.
From August 30, 1991. Why is there no ketchup on a properly made hot dog? I'm not going to read the reply because I don't actually know if it's going to back me up. But the question should tell you all you need to know.
Mm.
A properly made hot dog, no ketchup.
All right, whatever. We'll have to leave it there. My hot dog will have ketchup.
But you know what? It's 75 cents, Dylan. You can have two.
Actually, there's a place I don't think there's any anywhere near where I'm staying in LA. It's
so America's take the subway and go to the drive through. I guess you can't.
No. But America's drive-in. I don't know. Drive-in. Is that what I'm thinking? Sonic. It's called Sonic. Does hot dogs and maybe burgers.
Yeah.
They've got foot-long hot dogs, and they've got some crazy styles.
Do you necessarily want foot-long? Because if you have foot-long, then you can get kind of, maybe you can fit one kind, and you can eat one kind. But if you have a more reasonable size, then you can have several kinds, and you get, you know, those different flavors, those different experiences. A foot-long.
Yeah, they also have short, you know, non-foot-long ones.
Ask any woman, a foot-long is a big commitment.
The footlong is the... So the All-American Dog...
If you do a footlong, that is the only sausage you're doing today.
Take a bite of our Americana with Sonic's Premium Beef All-American Dog. It's a beef dog made with 100% pure beef that's grilled to perfection, topped with ketchup, yellow mustard, relish, and chopped onions, served in a soft, warm bakery bun. And that, I believe, concludes our show.
100% pure beef, asterisk.
Or horse.
Also processed on machines that process... Pope meat.
Fish and chips. Fish and chips.
The show is cancelled. Beep.